بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 21st of January in the year 2022 Alhamdulillah we're steadily going through the inexhaustible subject in which we're reflecting upon death and the afterlife. And the last thing I mentioned was the quote by Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, where he said, Death is in reality our wedding with eternity. Death is in reality our wedding with eternity. So it is only death that's preventing us from the eternal life. So how beautifully did the respected Shaykh put it, Rahmatullah Alayh. Indeed, it is from the Sunnah of the Salaf, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that if possible, to ask the dying to convey their salam to our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Ibn Majah, number 1450, Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, rahmatullah alayhi, said, I visited Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiyallahu anhu, when he was breathing his last. Thus I humbly requested, give my salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I visited Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu when he was breathing his last. I humbly requested, give my salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a sunnah. So Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he was a teenager in the time of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was blessed to have a long life. So this was possibly 80 years after the Prophet had passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Tabi'een said, and look how strange it is, because it's Sunnah. He asked the noble companion, give my salam to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, death isn't the end. You know, this is another lesson. It's just the pathway. And of course, the pathway to Rasulullah is through death. Subhanallah, just as Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu said when he was passing away in the arms of his beloved wife, وَفَرْحَتَ غَدًا نَلْقَى الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبًا. Rather, how great now is my pleasure, for tomorrow we meet our beloved, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his party. Subhanallah. This is recorded in Ibn Asakir, Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar, volume 2, page 357, Fath al-Bari in the chapter on the virtues of Bilal radiyallahu anhu, Ma'rif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 574 of the New English Translation. So the context here was Sayyidina Bilal was on the verge of leaving the world radiyallahu anhu, and he was going in and out of consciousness. So his wife, she grieved and she said something. So when Bilal came around, radiyallahu anhu, he said in verse, وَفَرْحَتَ رَادَ how great now is my pleasure. Because she was saying, what a misfortune. Then he explained, غَدًا نَلْقَى الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبًا. For tomorrow we meet our beloved, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his party. So note, Bilal was saying, only death is stopping me from reaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note how the companions, even on their deathbed, were highlighting that the journey now is to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then a question is posed. What are the good or bad signs upon a person's passing? So there's a few. In Tirmidhi, Tabarani in his Kabir, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahihah number 2151. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ نَفْسَ الْمُؤْمِنِ تَخْرُجُ رَشَحَا. And verily the departure of the believer's soul is as easy as sweating. وَنَفْسَ الْقَافِرِ تَخْرُجُ مِنْ شِدْقِهِ كَمَا تَخْرُجُ نَفْسُ الْحِمَارِ. Whereas an unbeliever's soul departs from the side of his mouth like the breath of a donkey. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith recorded in Tirmidhi, Tabarani. So for the believer, all in this report, all our beloved messenger mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is فَإِنَّ نَفْسَ الْمُؤْمِنِ تَخْرُجُ رَشَحَا. And verily the departure of the believer's soul is as easy as sweating. That's all he said. Thus note, sweat permeates the entire body and is on autopilot. Thus no effort is required at all by the individual. Granted, a little discomfort arises due to the water and stickiness. So look at the beautiful example the Prophet ﷺ gave. You don't think to sweat, it happens. Do you get discomfort from it? Slight discomfort. And that's how the believer's soul departs. He goes just like sweating, rashaha, the Prophet ﷺ said. But then when he described the kafir, وَالنَّفْسَ الْقَافِرُ تَخْرُجُ مِنْ شِدْقِهِ كَمَا تَخْرُجُ النَّفْسُ الْحِمَارِ. An unbeliever's soul departs from the side of his mouth, i.e. with difficulty, and noise like the breath or the soul of a donkey. Thus note, the unbeliever's soul leaves reluctantly, with effort and labor, thus causing the heaviness in one's breathing. So these are signs for the living. So if the person is breathing very heavily from the side, that's a bad sign. But if a person sweats just before he passes, this is a good sign. So these are signs the Prophet was highlighting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What were the signs? In another report, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, watch for 3 signs in the dying man. If his forehead sweats, his eyes shed tears, and his lips become dry, then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has alighted upon him. But if he should begin to choke like a man being strangled, his color turns red and he foams at the mouth, then this is from the chastisement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which has befallen him. Is recorded in Al-Hakim Al-Tirmidhi in his Nawadir Al-Usul, number 125, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr Al-Mut, Remembrance of Death, page 47 of the New English Translation. So 3 signs for the good end, and 3 signs for the bad end. What are the 3 signs in this report? For the good end, his forehead sweats, his eyes shed tears, and his lips become dry. Good signs. But if he is like being choked, he's struggling, like he's being strangled, his color changes red, and foam comes at the mouth, punishment is descending. So simply put, the outward signs of mercy upon the dying, you can mention, are the following. Sweating, eyes shedding tears, and the lips becoming dry. Whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves, the outward signs of damnation are choking as if being strangled, breathing from the side of the mouth, meaning, you know, finding it so difficult to breathe, skin changing color, and foaming at the mouth. Now think about that. You might actually be at the bedside of a dying person and you're totally oblivious to the signs. You see somebody sweating or somebody shedding a tear, how would you work it out? You might even say the opposite. Oh dear, he's weeping, maybe, you know, a'udhu billah, you know, maybe he's seen something. There you go, he's speaking without knowledge. His lips go dry, you could, you know, argue. Oh, astaghfirullah, he goes, you know, maybe severe thirst has not afflicted him. It's a good sign. The opposite, most of it seems straightforward. Being strangled, foaming from the mouth, changing color is not a good sign. And breathing from the side of the mouth. Thus for the righteous, it is related that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the soul of a believer leaves calmly. SubhanAllah. The soul of a believer leaves calmly. This is in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 10,015, 10,049. Abu Nu'aym in his Al-Hilya, volume 5, page 59. Hafiz ibn Qudama in his Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, page 254 of the New English Translation. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 2, page 326 states, the chain contains Al-Qasid ibn Mutayyib, and he is weak. So in this weak report, but again, it seems to confirm exactly what we know. The Prophet is reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the soul of a believer leaves calm. So yes, he may be going through the agonies of death, but when he dies calmly. But if there is like a huge, you know, struggle taking place, that's not a good sign. Right? Because this shows something's happening. So don't get confused. You got the agonies of death, but at the moment of death, the soul leaves calmly. That's a good sign. But if the soul appears to struggle to be leaving the body, that's not a good sign. It is important to highlight that one should be gentle to those who are dying, for the accursed is also present. So when you see a person, no matter what state he's in, you have to be gentle, because shaitan's there as well. Our beloved messenger is reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be present with your dying. Encourage them to say, La ilaha illallah. Give them glad tidings of paradise. Shaitan, the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is as close as he can be to the servant at this instance, i.e. for it is his last chance. This is recorded in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, volume 5, page 186, Hafiz ibn Qudama, rahmatullah alayh, in his Mukhtasar, Minhaj al-Qasidin, page 254 of the New English Translation, with a weak chain of transmission. So the first part, the Prophet famously said, encourage them to say, La ilaha illallah. But he said, give them glad tidings of paradise. Don't talk about hell to them. Subhanallah. You just encourage them with the mercy. But then he explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shaitan is as close as he can be to the servant, meaning he's now so close to him, he's going to confuse him. So you have to inspire him. But if you've got crackpots there, ripping, screaming, wailing, you might as well join the, you're the funfair of shaitan. Shaitan's next to him, and behind him, all funfairs taking place. So note again, you know, people need to prepare for this. What is the ideal state to leave the world? The ideal state to leave the world is in a state of fear and hope. How do we know? Our beloved messenger famously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two are not combined in the heart of a believer at this time, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graciously gives him what he hopes for and protects him from what he fears. Subhanallah. This is in Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, number 983, Ibn Majah, number 4261, with a Hassan chain of transmission. So this is a part of the report. I'll give you the full. A companion was leaving the world on his deathbed, radiallahu. The Prophet came to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, how do you feel? So he goes, Ya Rasulullah, I fear over my sins, but I'm hopeful for the mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, these two are not combined in the heart of a believer at this point, except Allah Ta'ala gives him what he hopes for and protects him from what he fears. That's the ideal state. So think about it, that's mercy. That's mercy. Allah Ta'ala could have demanded, when you're dying, you must have no fear. He could have demanded that. When you're dying, you think 100% Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive me. Which one of us will be successful? But even a companion of Rasulullah said, I fear and I hope. And the Prophet gave the glad tidings. Thus the importance of what? Righteous deeds throughout one short life. Because that's what you hope. You don't hope without making effort. Obviously we fall into sin, so we fear our sins. But the hope, where does the hope come from? Hope comes from action. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious, what does He say? My mercy is very close to the muhsineen. My mercy is close to those who do the excellent deeds. So there's a condition. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is close to those who do excellent deeds, not those who wishful thinking. So the Quran is telling you how to be close to the divine mercy. Also notice, just prior to when a servant passes away, it is often observed by the onlookers that their eyes become fixed upon something towards the sky. What is this? So we've been given knowledge. In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir Sira, volume 2, page 64 of the English translation, Ibn Ishaq, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, "A source I do not doubt quoted Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu as saying, I heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had finished in Jerusalem, the mi'raj, the ladder, was brought to me. Never before did I see anything finer than this ladder. Indeed, it is this to which your dying turns their eyes at the point of death." Indeed, it is this to which your dying turn their eyes at the point of death. So let's look at this. So first, what's interesting? You've got to look at the source. Ibn Ishaq, he said, "A source I do not doubt quoted Abu Sa'id." So he didn't mention who he heard it from. But he goes, "I don't doubt this person." Is that good enough? Ibn Ishaq was a mudallis. A mudallis is not a liar, but he plays on words. So, example, Ibn Ishaq, he would say, Abu Sa'id relates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Sa'id is a famous companion. It's also the kunyat of Hasan al-Basri. So when Ibn Ishaq said, Abu Sa'id relates from the Prophet, he wasn't intending the Sahaba, he was intending the Tabi'een. But why did he not use his real name? Because that weakens the report. Have you understood? So if he had said this, Ibn Ishaq, Hasan al-Basri relates from the Prophet, but he couldn't have heard from the Prophet, he's Tabi'een. So what Ibn Ishaq did, he used his kunyat, giving you the impression that this is from a Sahaba. Have you understood? Does that mean he's lying? No. But the scholars of hadith, you can't get past them. Allah Ta'ala has chosen them to protect the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why have I mentioned all that? What did I mention at the beginning of this report? Ibn Ishaq, what did he say? "A source I do not doubt quoted Abu Sa'id as saying." So first of all, he didn't mention who he heard it from. And then he said Abu Sa'id. So is he referring to the Sahaba? Therefore the scholars have said this report has weakness. But the great Hafiz Ibn Kathir recorded it, meaning he was happy with it. So anyway, what does the hadith say? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I finished in Jerusalem, so this was after the Isra. So he travelled miraculously on the Buraq sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah to Jerusalem. He prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa. All the prophets prayed behind him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's finished in Jerusalem. Now he's going to go on the Mi'raj. He said, the Mi'raj, the ladder, is actually called Mi'raj. The ladder was brought to me. Never before did I see anything finer. Meaning, if you think of a ladder, you just think of a, you know, a mundane equipment. So the Prophet eradicated that. He goes, there's something else. I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable, this ladder. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is that to which your dying turn their eyes at the point of death. So when they start staring, they think, what they're looking at? The Prophet told you, it's the ladder. So now, what do we know about Jerusalem? The hadith mentions that when a person dies, his soul is taken to Masjid al-Aqsa, where the Dome of the Rock is, and then he ascends into the heavens, whether he's a believer or unbeliever. The unbeliever doesn't get past the first heaven. He's flung back down. The believer continues. So it's for everybody. The Prophet's already there. He's in Jerusalem. But he's not tasted death because he's on a living journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's taking the same journey as the souls that die. He's seen the ladder. Look how much honor was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has given him the journey before he's going to go through the journey himself later. Because I saw the ladder. Then he said, this is what your eyes turn to at the point of death. Now why? Why does the person not stop blinking? Because he's so amazed at this. What is this? Indeed, this is the famous path the soul traverses to on its journey throughout the heavens to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the body's death. Now what's interesting? You get people having near-death experiences. And they go, we see a light at the end of the tunnel because we saw a light. So maybe this could be this. The problem with that is you didn't die. This is talking about a person who dies, not coming back. Whether it's also applicable to those who have been dead technically for a few moments, a few minutes, and they are brought back, Allah Ta'ala knows best. But they do have exactly the same experience. They give different wordings to it, because we see a beautiful light and we want to go. Then we look back, we see our body, and they start saying things like this, and then you think, it seems to fit. Maybe Allah Ta'ala also gives it sometimes to the living, as the souls return. But without knowledge, it's mere conjecture. The atheist, they only come out with, oh, he's talking nonsense. He goes, you know, his brain's not functioning properly, so he's losing, he's imagining things. But the reality is the revelation. So note, everything I've mentioned thus far is about the moment of death. Is anything really left out? No. All details are given by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To console a brother or sister upon a loss is a truly most rewarding deed. Why? Our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever consoled an afflicted person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him wear two garments of paradise, which are worth more than the entire world. Subhanallah. This is in Tabarani in his Awsat, number 9292, or volume 6, page 429. Let's look at this. This is not talking about death, though it could be death. So somebody's lost somebody and you console them. Definitely you, it applies to you. The Prophet didn't talk about death. Whoever consoles an afflicted person. So there's a myriad of things that a person could be afflicted with. Maybe he's got some illness. Doctors have given him bad news. So you console them. You are still entitled to this. Then what is the reward? Allah the Almighty will make him wear two garments of paradise. Not one, two. They are worth more than the entire world. So look how easy it is to do. You just go and you say, brother, you know, I've just come to pay my respects. If there's anything I can do. Just for those few short words, what have you acquired? Two priceless garments of paradise. In another report, there's a detail. In Tirmidhi, number 1073, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever consoles a person facing hardship, they will then receive the same reward as them. Subhanallah. Whoever consoles a person facing hardship, they will then receive the same reward, i.e. of exercising patience as them. So think about it. Somebody loses somebody beloved to him. He's showing patience. The reward is paradise. The Prophet said that in Bukhari Sharif. You've consoled him, you're entitled to the same reward. So a person goes, brother, I'm not going through the loss. I'm not feeling what he's feeling. Not bothered about your logic. The Prophet said it. Right? Think about that, right? You know, logically, yeah, you're right, brother. He's going through the, you know, the grief. You just given him a few kind words. How can you be the same as him? No, no, brother. The Prophet said it. Thus, another endless, easy avenue through which to secure our own salvation. Think about it. You know, if you think about it, how can you end up in hell? You know, if you look at all the ways Allah has given you paradise, somebody goes, give me an unusual one. I just mentioned it. Console somebody. You know, even if it's something, you know, you might think, you know, console him for that. You know, for example, his car engine blows up. And he goes, whoa, brother, when I had a car, you know, same make, it lasted, but have patience, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will reward you. Somebody goes, am I going to get paradise for that, right? No, but what you think, brother? Two garments of paradise and the same reward as that person. And note again, what does shaitan do? He makes it into something so small, you don't bother doing it anymore. Oh, they all give him. In fact, what does shaitan say to you? He goes, give him time to grieve. Right? So basically, don't trouble him. Let him grieve. Who's whispered that into your head? Yeah, brother, but I'm not being funny, but I need to get my own little... I'm going to give him my, you know, few words of condolence and I'm going to get these rewards. Look, shaitan depriving you again, astaghfirullah. The only thing is you need to be sincere as well, obviously. Don't just do terribly good. Allah ni marzi. Right? When you console, it means you literally are consoling. You're not, otherwise you're munafiq. Some people go, they get pleasure. Astaghfirullah. He got it. He got it. He got it. And when they go, but I'm really upset. Outside you were saying he got it. He deserved it. And then you said, what game is that? He has to be a sincere, condolence or consolence to the brother or sister. And paradise is yours. Imagine. Subhanallah. So all I mentioned today was again talking about the subject of death. Now specifically talking about the moment of death, i.e. what are the things that we need to be aware of. And then the good and bad signs of the dying person. What is the ideal state to pass away? Why does a person's sight fix sometimes upon something in the heavens? What is that? And then of course the immense virtues of consoling somebody who is afflicted. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى المسلمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله